to help us understand what the markets may be trying to tell us, welcome now Bob Prince. He's co-chief investment officer for Bridgewater Associates, and Ed Hyman, chair of Evercore ISI and vice chair of Evercore Partners. So welcome both of you back to Wall Street Week. It's really a pleasure to have you. Ed, let me start with you. You follow the economy and what's going on with the economy. We've talked about the markets. We've talked about the Fed. What's the economy telling us?
Well, the economy has two parts to it, obviously. One part is what real GDP is or auto sales. Then there's inflation. And inflation is by far the more important part right now. But on the first part, the economy is doing okay. As you know, we survey companies. And our retail survey dropped sharply this week, but still pretty elevated. Housing is really getting hit. But on balance, the economy is doing okay. I think it's probably growing 2 or 3%, but headed to 1%. The rig count, I'm sorry, bank loans came out this afternoon, and they're up 11% now. And retail sales this week were, you know, pretty decent. On inflation, which is much more important, I'm pretty convinced that inflation is slowing. Oil prices came down, gasoline prices came down. And in the weeds, used car prices dropped about 3% in the latest month. And we survey retailers' pricing power. That's now plunging. You've heard the stories about the inventories being high. And we have been tracking that for a long time. It's now really coming down. But the most important part, and we don't get much data on this, are wages. And obviously, the labor markets are very tight. But they had, from the conference board this week, a measure of CEO confidence was almost a record low. And then another survey that showed 80% of workers were concerned about losing their job. go figure that. But we survey employment agencies every week and ask them, among other things, about wage pressure, and that's now pretty clearly hooked down. So I think you're beginning to see some moderation in wages on top of, you know, prices now cooling and the economy's cooling.
So, Bob, Ed sees inflation starting to come down. The question is how fast it's coming down, but starting to come down. How do you see it? And is it coming down enough and fast enough so the Fed will not have to go much further in rate hikes?
It's definitely on the down, but the question is where does it settle out? And does it settle out at the level that the Fed expects it to and that the markets are discounting? The markets are discounting 2.5. And, you know, we're coming down from 6, so, or higher on the core, right? So, but there are really two big imbalances in the economy right now that are need to be resolved through this tightening cycle. And we're still in this tightening cycle. It's too early to really see the effects. It hasn't been that long to see the effects, and so chances are you're going to get more of that weakness as you go along. But there are two big imbalances in the economy right now that are going to have to be resolved. One is the level of nominal spending in relation to the output capacity of labor. Over the past year, nominal spending is up 10%. Incomes are up 10%, and if incomes are up 10%, that gets spent, and you get more spending at 10%. So you got to bring incomes down, and if incomes are growing by 10%, but labor can only produce goods at the rate of 4%, you get a 6% inflation rate. And that's the basic, that's the first imbalance, and that's the basic cause of the inflation that we have right now. It's really not the supply chains. It's just too much spending, which came from the monetization of government debt and the fiscal stimulation. The second imbalance is the level of nominal spending in relation to bond yields. So nominal spending is even higher above bond yields than it is above output. It's, you know, 7% above bond yields. So it's the highest in 60 years. So if people's incomes are growing well beyond bond yields, it's very easy to make debt service payments. And even if you lose your job or commodity prices go up or something, you can get credit. And so the credit numbers that Ed's referring to, loans up 11%, you know, that's a backstop. on the economy and spending. So it's the high level of spending and income in relation to interest rates and labor production, and it's the availability of credit to sustain that. And that all means that you have to get a tightening of monetary policy and a sustained tightening of monetary policy to bring about an equilibrium.
So it strikes me that Bob brought us back to wages pretty quickly there. It's one of the issues here of wages. You said that's the hardest to get your arms around. Where are we with wages and that wage price spiral? Because, in fact, if we are going to have continued inflation, people are going to want to make more money. They're going to go to their bosses and say, you need to pay me more.
Well, CEOs now are really bearish. So they're not going to be happy if you have a CEO on. But Bob and I think about the same way. But money growth has been slowing for about 18 months.
Well, talk about that, because it was growing gangbusters for a long time.
Right.
But you're saying it's turned around.
So in the conventional way, you had the checks, you had quantitative easing and low interest rates. And so money growth got up to almost 30%, which is obviously extremely fast. And that's why you have the strong nominal growth. Now, with figures I got this afternoon on bank deposits, money growth is well less than 5%. And so we've set up the mechanism for this nominal growth, which is way too fast, to slow down. But that's what has to happen. And obviously, this is a really interesting thing. If it slows down, does it come out of real growth or out of prices? If you have your 10% nominal growth, which everybody can understand, I think, right now it's about 1% real and 9% price.
Right.
And if you go to, say, 5% nominal, what's the mix then?
Right.
but if you take that much money supply away, if the money supply has really gone down, should that fix the inflation problem, or at least take us a long way toward fixing it?
Your total in an economy, your total sources of funds is your sources for spending. And there are three sources. There's money, there's credit, and there's income, mm-hmm. right? And so when you get to tightening of monetary policy, they're contracting money. And that's absolutely right. The first effect of a contraction in money is on asset markets. Because if you think about the printing of money by the Fed or any other central bank, they print the money and then they go buy bonds. Or they print the money and that money then goes into stocks. So that money most directly affects the financial markets. Credit more goes into spending. Right? Because, you take out an auto loan to buy a car, you don't take out an auto loan to buy a bond. And the Fed doesn't print money to buy a car. They print money to buy financial assets. So what you have is a push-pull where the contraction in liquidity from the central bank is a drag on the financial markets, while the expansion of credit is a support to spending. And so you've got that working in both directions right now.
Well, but Ed, that's interesting to me, at least. Credit's going up. That sounds like it's good. It's going to spur growth. But that makes it sound like that's actually going to make the inflation situation worse. Does the Fed need the credit to come in?
So probably. So in my view of it, which is a straight Milton Friedman take of it, of those three pieces that Bob pointed out, the first one is where it starts. Is the money growth. And I track global short rates. It's a global economy, and they have a higher impact on the U.S. economy than Fed funds. And they've been going up for about 18 months, same time that money growth has been slowing. So I think we're pretty deep in this. And we had a pretty good drop in the stock market, to your point. And now inflation's coming down, and the markets are beginning to think that this is introduction to the next chapter, the next peel of the onion.
He's exactly right. So the money's the first thing, right?
Right.
Money's the first thing, but it needs to get to the second thing and the third thing to have the permanent effects, right? Mm-hmm. Which means you have to be in a tightening cycle for long enough for that to happen. Right, and we've been in a tightening cycle for how many weeks? Right,
if you look at global,
you're right, 18 months exactly.
Right.
But you have to be in it long enough, right? And so, as we look forward, we think that there's going to be. It's too early to tell, really, how this plays out in terms of whether it's weak growth or high inflation or which one. But you're probably going to get some combination of weak growth, high inflation, and rising interest rates.
Right.
And all three of those are rough on asset prices. And the mix is going to be determined mostly by how aggressively the Fed and other central banks tighten and stay tight if they have to pay the price of a downturn.
And that's just where we're going to turn next. So what does this really mean for investors? It's too soon to tell. What do we do in the meantime while we're waiting for those answers? Bob Prince and Ed Kaiman will be back with us for more Wall Street Week after the break. Still with us are Bob Prince of Bridgewater and Ed Hyman of Evercore. So it's a bit of a different world today, Bob. For example, on the job situation, we still have a pretty robust jobs economy. But from everything we discussed before about the uncertainty of where we are on the tightening cycle, what comes next, what does that say to an investor?
Well, right now, we're in an in-between stage right now, right? So if you go back just not too many months ago, It became evident that we had a self-sustaining inflation, that there was going to be a tightening in monetary policy. The markets priced that in. Yields went up. You got the tightening of policy. It's still happening. It's not over. Markets got a little bit excited about the dip in some of the inflation. They started to bite on that yield. But that we've already given up half of the yield rise that occurred, and that actually means the Fed needs to do more than if the yields had stayed up where they were, right? Including equity. So we're still in this thing. We're still in this tightening cycle. And like I said, there's going to be a mixture of three things. And you don't know what the mix is yet because it's too early to tell. But you're going to get some mixture of weak growth, high inflation, and rising interest rates. The more the interest rates rise, the more it's the weak growth. The less the interest rate rise, the more it's the high inflation. And if the Fed takes the foot off the brake, that inflation improvement's going to go away, and they're going to favor growth. So, you don't know how they're going to play it quite yet. So, what we try to do in this kind of environment is maintain some balance, right? Diversification, obviously, not too heavily committed to any one direction, but also even within the equity market, structuring equity portfolios that have a cash flow and balance sheet base under them, so that if the tightening is very aggressive, that there's a strong enough balance sheet to hold that up to sustain their position in the markets or sustain a positive cash flow. And I think the companies that have a lot of debt in relation to enterprise value or vulnerable profit margins, that sort of thing, are the type that are most vulnerable for that environment.
So it sounds like an awful lot hinges on the Fed. Surprise, surprise. Jackson Hole coming up next week, okay? A lot of people are going to pay attention to Jay Powell, what he has to say. If you remember last year at this event, he was talking about transitory still. That doesn't work so well this year.
Right.
So how much guidance can the Fed give us about exactly where they're heading on some of the questions that Bob just talked about?
Well, it's hard to know. I do think we're going to get a financial crisis somewhere pretty soon. It's always been part of the tightening cycle. But like you point out, David, last year it was really about transitory. He had five different things that would prove transitory. And I personally think the Fed is now on the other side of the wrong foot. Now they're doing the entrenched. And, a year ago, I thought bond yields could go to 5% and Fed funds go to 5%. And I'm not quite sure what's happened, but, money growth did slow dramatically. And commodity prices have come down dramatically. And now I'm seeing pricing power coming down. And so I think we've made a lot more progress on inflation than I expected. And that's why the market was going up until today. But that's if inflation keeps coming down, then the market is going to appreciate that.
So one thing I don't understand, Bob, we heard why Ed thinks the Fed's job maybe has gotten a bit easier, actually, with some of the things that have happened. But financial conditions actually have not tightened. Actually, if anything, gotten somewhat looser. That makes the Fed's job harder, does it not?
In recent weeks.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, the first half of the year, literally the first quarter, the markets were doing the Fed's job entirely.
Yeah.
And then the Fed joined in. And once the Fed joined in and the market saw some, positive signs of inflation, they actually pulled back. And so bond yields came back down, equity yields, came back down. And so You know, that, as you said, about half of the tightening that the markets were applying has been retracted. Mm-hmm. If yields had stayed where they were, it would be that much less that the Fed needs to do. But the fact that the yields have actually dropped some and kind of given back some of the work that they were doing, it's that much more that the Fed needs to do. And so I think, you know, it's, and to, Ed referred to last, you know, you raised it, and then, you know, we talk about last year's Jackson Hole speech,
yeah.
But they were clearly wrong about transitory inflation. If you actually look at the indicators that they follow, and they tend to be lagging indicators, I haven't heard yet an explanation about how they think inflation, why they think there is an inflation, why they think that that was wrong. And I think that that caused you to question how well this process is going to be managed. It's going to be very tricky.
Well, Ed, that's a really powerful point, I think. Does the Fed need to explain to us what went wrong and why they're not going to do a mistake again for us to really believe them this time?
Well, it would be helpful. But, you know, from my vantage point, as you can see, what they missed was that fiscal stimulus, quantitative easing led to a 30% increase in the money supply, and that did it. And if you look back at that Jackson Hole, they completely missed that. Now money growth is plunging, and commodity prices are coming down, all sorts of signs, and early signs. And so the job's not over by any means, but there's progress. And if you look back, like particularly at the 70s, when inflation peaked, the stock market started to respond to that, when you had a very high inflation period like we have now.
Do you agree with Ed that in all likelihood we'll have some sort of financial crisis, that that's what happens in serious tightening cycles?
Odds are pretty good, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we haven't had enough tightening yet to really have that, but odds are good, yeah. I mean, we haven't had the downturn yet. If there's going to be a downturn, it hasn't happened yet. It's going to be hard to bring inflation down. How are you going to bring nominal spending down from 10% to 5%? Without a significant contraction in credit, you need to slow credit growth by about half. Money growth has slowed, but you need to slow credit growth in half, but it's still rising. You're going to have to hold interest rates up enough, and that's when bad things happen.
I have to tell you, this is not a bad thing. It's a real treat to have the two of you here on Wall Street. We really thank you so much. That is Ed Hyman of Evercore and Bob Prince of Bridgewater.